says, finally, my brethren. Everyone say, that's me. All the children, you can go out to kids' club. If you're in primary school or preschool, go right out that back door. They're going to be doing a lesson on the armor of God. Okay, that's you, Jacob. That's you, Matthew. You're in year seven, aren't you now? That's right. Well, that's Lauren. It's Lauren there. Make your way out the back there. Great, they're going to have a good time. Finally, my brethren, everybody say, that's me. Uh-huh. Paul says to the church at Ephesus, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You see, we don't always feel strong. We don't always feel powerful, but we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The next scripture, Philippians 4:13, it's going to be on the screen, says, I can do all things, what's it say? Through Christ. I can do all things on my own. No. I can do all things with the help of my friends. No. I can do all things with the help of the pastor. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's right. Amen. And then we're going to go to a very obscure passage in Judges chapter 20, verses 15. Judges chapter 20 and verse 15. And it says this. And the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities 26,000 men that drew sword beside the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. So there were 26,000 men that had swords, but there were another 700 chosen men. Everybody say 700. Among all this people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Everybody say left-handed. And every one of them could sling a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. I want to preach tonight. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong. This is the most important bit. In the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, be strong in the Lord. Emphasis on in the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask you to speak to us through your word. Let us leave this place encouraged, oh God. Lord, let faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody say in Jesus' name, you may be seated. You may be seated. A very interesting message tonight from an interesting portion of scripture. But the theme of this message is that you can be strong in the Lord and in the power of God. Of his mind. And we're going to close tonight out with a time of communion. And that's why we can be strong, because Jesus, we are strong through Jesus Christ. And he conquered death, hell, and the grave at the cross. We can be strong because Jesus is strong. We can be victorious because he is victorious and our strength is in him. So we are in a spiritual battle. How many people know that we're in a spiritual battle? Yeah? We're in a spiritual battle. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. People are not our enemy, but we are in a spiritual battle. But the beautiful thing is that we are not in this battle alone. God is on our side. We don't have to go up against this enemy alone. My strength is limited. But we serve a limitless God. We serve a limitless God. He is with us. And the Bible says that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. That tells me that God is at his strongest when I'm at my weakest. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And I've come to tell the church today that you can be strong in the Lord. You can be strong in the Lord. Now, for those of you that don't know, I am an interesting person in the fact that I do some things left-handed and I do some things right-handed. I bat and bowl, which is the most important thing in Australia. I bat and bowl right-handed, but I write left-handed. I do a lot of things left-handed and some things right-handed, but I would call myself a left-hander. How many left-handers have we got here today? How many left-handers? One, two, three, four, five. Look at all the smart ones. They say that our brains are like twice as big as a right-hander's brain. So we feel sorry for you that aren't left-handed. I'm only joking. But I'm left-handed, and while left-handed are the greatest people on the planet now, it hasn't always been that way. Because once upon a time, somebody who was left-handed was seen as a weak person. They were seen as having a deficiency because they were left-handed. Some people have gone as far to say that left-handed people, the left-handedness was a result of some sort of turmoil that they experienced when their mother was giving birth. And that because of that turmoil and because of that tragedy, they ended up being left-handed. Well, history tells us that Stone Age implements, when they discovered them, it seemed like a lot of them were left-handed and a lot of them were right-handed. The historians tell us that they were equally divided amongst the left and the right. And if you look at the cave drawings, there seems to also be there in the cave drawings some sort of preference for left-handed people. I don't know if that's because right-handed people did it and that was the perspective they took. I don't know. But there was a notion back in historical times that somebody who was left-handed was weak and they were handicapped, and that right-handed people were the prominent people. And some say that this had originated in the Northern Hemisphere by people who would worship the sun. And so in the Northern Hemisphere, the sun would, if you face south, the sun would go from left to right. And so that means if the sun is going to the right, that meant that the right must be the right, best place. You see, even the sun goes to the right. And so they had this belief that the right-hand side was the best. And so everything related to the right was good and everything having to do with the left was bad. Another theory about left-handedness comes from the fact that the heart is on the left side. How many people have their heart on the left side? Anybody? Or is it just me? We're not left and right-handed when it comes to our hearts. But the heart is on, am I right? Yeah. The heart is on the left side, okay? So they say that a shield would therefore have to be taken in the left hand to defend the heart from any weapon. Therefore, and so any weapon that you had, because you're defending your heart with your left hand, that any weapon you had, you would use with your right hand. Okay, so people looked at the right hand as being the most prominent and the strong one. Recent theories, as I said before, have said that it could have been a deficiency resulting from a traumatic childbirth. And so history tells us that left-handed people were frowned upon, seen as deficient, seen as weak, seen as inferior. And even the Bible tends to tell us that as well. In Matthew chapter 25, the Bible says that when God separates the sheep from the goats, which side do the sheep go? The sheep go to the right and all the goats go to the left. So all the bad people went to the left and all the good people went to the right, so therefore the right-hand side must be good and the left hand must be bad. Even the custom of shaking hands. We shake hands with our right hand. And the reason why we shake hands with our right hand is because when you went up in friendship with somebody, Shekinah, if I was your friend, and I am your friend, we're good friends, and I shook your hand, I would shake it with the right hand because the right hand is the hand that I hold my weapon. And so you would know that I was friendly. I wouldn't be hiding the sword behind my back. Okay? You could trust me because the weapon was held in the right hand. So this theory came about that you couldn't trust a left-handed person because they could come shake your hand with their right hand. And they could have a sword ready straight off with your head. And so the weapon was carried in the right hand. And so there you go. And so even in language, in many languages, like in the Latin language, the word left is sinister. Everybody say sinister. And in the English, that word has come to mean evil. Left is evil. The French word for left is gauche, which in the English means awkward or tactless. The English word left comes from the old English word, which means weak. Can you see this whole idea that left-handed people are weak and inferior and just not anything? And so we read in our scripture tonight about 700 special soldiers. And the Bible specifically tells us, Brother Leon, that they were left-handed. Now, if you studied your Bible for any amount of time, you'll know that the Bible is specific about some things. And the Bible is specific for a reason. Everything in the Bible is there for a reason. Even in the details, there is great revelation. There is great encouragement. That's why you can take the Bible, and when you begin to mine the Bible, when you begin to dig out the nuggets, you can just keep going and going and going, because there is so much depth. And so here in the book of Judges that we read right at the beginning, in Judges chapter 20, there is this battle going on. There had been a division of the nation of Israel into two parts, the tribe of Benjamin or Judah, and then the other tribe of Israel. There'd been this division, and there arose a problem, some sort of strife. We don't know exactly what it was, the war, the reason for it's not important, but the fact that there was a war was the main concern. There was a division in the nation. And so they're ready to go to battle, the tribe of Benjamin and the tribe of Israel. They're going to battle. And so they're ready to go to battle, and they begin to number. If you read that portion of scripture when you get home, they begin to number their troops. And so the tribe of Benjamin, they go and they number up their soldiers. And the Bible says that they had 26,000 and they had 700 special soldiers. But the children of Israel had 400,000 soldiers. Everyone say 400,000. Now, if this was just a battle going on right now, one guy had 400,000, one guy had 26,000 odd, who would you go for? Which one would you go for? The one with 400,000. Of course. And so they're numbering the armies, and they look at the numbers, and on the surface, it looks like a cut and dry situation. The battle's over. One side's got 400,000, one side's got around 26,000. And so it looks like the war's all over. You ought to save a couple of 100,000 soldiers, just send 50,000, and we've got twice as many as them. And so it seemed like a total mismatch. The children of Israel would have thought, you know what, we're going to win this. No worries, it's all cut and dry. And as they stood there, they're thinking, ha, laughing and jesting. And then somebody comes up to them and says, before you start rejoicing, before you get too carried away and start celebrating the victory before the battle's even started, before you get too excited about the fact that you got 400,000 and the others have got 26,000 odd, before you get too excited, I just want to remind you that they've got 700 special forces soldiers. Now, do you really think 700 soldiers would put fear into 400,000? But there was something about these 700 soldiers. Suddenly a fear came over them, and a soldier comes up to them. He says, before you start, come on, there's 700 men that you didn't take into account. You've been laughing and you've been jesting. You've been counting your chickens before they hatched, because there are 700 soldiers amongst the tribe of Benjamin. And those 700 soldiers put fear into 400,000 men. In Judges 20 verse 16, it says, among all this people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Every one could sling a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. I don't know if you get to see hair very often, but I see it a lot. You know, normally every morning, more gone. And I'd love to pull one of my hairs out just to show you how small the hair is, but these things are becoming a rare commodity. But just imagine, these people had become so fine-tuned. They were left-handed. They had become so fine-tuned with their sling that they could take a rock. They'd given up throwing rocks at targets. They just started pulling hairs out of their head and say, that'll do. Got it. The Bible says they could throw a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. These are some soldiers, aren't they? They had fine-tuned their skill. You know, 700 men, who would care about 700 men? But you realize these 700 men were chosen men. They were, Brother Troy, like SAS soldiers, Navy SEALs, commandos, special forces. And these 700 soldiers put fear into everybody. Their skills, the Bible says, were so fine-tuned. They could throw a stone at a hare. They could throw a stone at a target, and they would not miss. And the Bible says that every one of the 700, not just the best, but every one of them could throw a stone at a hare and not miss. And so powerful were these 700 soldiers that in the first confrontation, 22,000 soldiers were killed. In the second encounter, 18,000 soldiers go down. You see, it was more than being skilled. They were experienced. It was more than being experienced, though. It was more than special tactics. But the thing that made them so different and special, the thing that made these 700 soldiers so different and so special, the Bible tells us, it's in the text, the thing that made them so different and so special is that they were left-handed. Everybody say left-handed. You see, in Bible times, left-handed people were seen as handicapped. The right hand, even when it comes to God, the right hand of God is a symbol of strength and power. And in the military, all of the training was given to the right hand. Children, even back in the Bible times, were trained to be right-handed. How did they treat left-handed people when you're at school? Dad, did they tie their hand behind their back? Hit them on the hand. When they start using their left hand, they slap their hand with a ruler to tell them to start using their right hand. Anybody here been to school when they used to tie the kids' left hands behind their back so they couldn't use it? That used to happen in Australia, probably a little bit before my dad's generation. But some teachers would come and tie the hand of the student behind their back and force them to be right-handed. You see, in the military at that time, all the training went to the right hand. And these guys are in the army and they are left-handed. The Hebrew word for left-handed means it's ida yamin, which means shut up, which means withered. It was not, listen carefully, it was not that these 700 men were left-handed by choice. They didn't say, well, we just want to be different to everybody else in the army. We want to be left-handed. No, it wasn't that they were left-handed by choice. Listen to the way and why they were left-handed. The reason why they were left-handed is because they were physically handicapped. When you study a little bit deeper, you'll find that these 700 men were not handicapped by choice, but they were handicapped because something had happened to them in life. I don't know what had happened to them. Maybe they had been a victim of an accident. Maybe they got their hand caught in a mill. Maybe they were swimming, I don't know, and a shark bit it off. Maybe somebody else cut their right hand off or something, I don't know. But they were quite literally handicapped soldiers. And these handicapped soldiers could throw a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. Now, I don't know how people would be like that these days. But they had a choice. They had been handicapped. They lost the use of their right hand. Maybe their right hand was withered. Maybe the ligaments had gone. Maybe they had lost their right hand, whatever it was. But they had an excuse. They could have said, you know what? We're not fit for battle anymore. We've lost the use of our right hand. We're going to go home. They could have sat down. They could have had a spirit that says, you know what? I'm handicapped. I'm not good for service. I'm just going to sit down. I'm just going to retire out of this thing now. But no, they had a different spirit. Everyone say a different spirit. They said, you know what? I may be handicapped, but I'm not helpless. I may have been wounded in the past, but I'm not helpless. You know, I may have lost the use of my right hand, but that's not going to stop me getting back into the battle. I may have lost the use of my right hand, but I still got something else to offer this army. I can use my left. And so instead of throwing the towel in, they said, I got something else I can offer. And so there are these 700 soldiers scarred, wounded, bruised because of accidents, because of misfortune, maybe just because of really bad luck if you believe in that. They had a problem with their right hand, but they had an attitude that said, they may have destroyed my right hand, but I can still do something. I can still do something. I can still fight in this army. And I've come to encourage somebody today. Whoever you are, maybe you've been wounded in the past. Maybe you've got a handicap. Maybe I don't know what it is, some spiritual handicap. Whatever it is, and you're thinking to yourself, you know what? Everybody else seems so strong. Everybody else seems like they got it all together. I got nothing to offer. I want to tell you, you still got something you can offer God. And if you put it in the hands of God, you can be strong in the Lord. You can be strong in the Lord. You can rise above those things in your past. You can rise above the hurts and the failures and the wounds of the past. And your strength is not going to come from inside of you. Your strength is going to come in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Everybody say, be strong in the Lord. And so these soldiers didn't give up. They say, I've still got something that I can offer God. You see, all of us have weaknesses. All of us have handicaps. All of us, if I gave you a piece of paper and put some dreary music on, some sad music, I don't know, country and western or something, they always sing about how everybody left them. You know, my wife left me. I got nobody anymore. I'm just sitting here chewing on a piece of straw. If I put some music on like that, maybe you could come up with a good list of all the reasons why God can't use you. I'm sure you could. Because all of us have got weaknesses. All of us could put a great big list together of all of our handicaps and all of our wounds and all of our hurts. But I've come to tell somebody today that we can be strong in the Lord. And when you've got God on your side, nothing can stop you, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You plus God is big enough for any battle. You got God on your side. And so they had an attitude. They said, you know what? The battles of yesterday may have got me down, but I still want to fight. And that's the attitude we've got to have, church. We're in a spiritual battle. Yeah, some of us have been through some battles. We've been through right down to the bottom of the valley. But I'm going to tell you, God is with you. Even though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. You see, you can be strong in the Lord. Amen. You know, maybe they sat down one day and said, you know, maybe we got something we can offer. And one guy goes, oh, I know what. We can fight with swords. And he goes, hey, silly. We haven't got a right hand. How can we fight with a sword? Anyway, if we fought with a sword, we wouldn't be able to hold a shield. One guy goes, oh, I got an idea. What about javelins? And, you know, they just ride the javelin on the back of the horse. He goes, yo, that's a good idea. You could ride the javelin, but you wouldn't have a hand to hold the reins. Oh, that's right. Yeah. We can't use swords. We can't fight with javelins. What about bow and arrows? He goes, oh, you're the most stupid guy. Bow and arrow, you've got to have two arms to do that. And one guy goes, well, maybe we could use a sling. A sling? An insignificant sling? And that's the way some of us think. When God begins to talk to us and tell us the things that God wants to do through our life, and in our life we say, oh, really, God? You're going to use me? Insignificant me? You know, I'm a nobody. I don't have royal blood in my veins. I don't have a popular name. I don't have a lot of money. And like Moses, you know, I can't even really string more than 5 or 6 words together. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a singer. Let me tell you, the kingdom of God needs more than preachers and singers and musicians. So many times we get our eyes just set on these things. But God, the body of Christ needs more diversity than that. Whatever you've got to offer God, you might think it's an insignificant sling, but if you put it in the hands of God, He can give you the power and you can be strong. Everybody say it. In the Lord. You can be strong. In the Lord. Praise God. Well, you're doing all right for a Wednesday night. Some of you sound a bit sleepy. Praise God. So the insignificant sling, the Bible says, became the most feared weapon in the entire army. I don't know too many people whose lives are perfect. In fact, I would go as far to say is none of our lives here are perfect. But you've got a choice. You can be weak in your own strength, or you can be strong. You can be strong. You see, what has happened to you in the past has not left you defeated, has not left you written off. You can be strong. You've got a choice. You can be strong. You can look to yourself, or you can look and to God and be strong in the Lord. We struggle, we falter, we fail. The struggle doesn't matter. You've been wounded, yes, of course, but you can be strong in the Lord. What you've got left is enough for God. What you see, this little sling looks so insignificant, but what you've got left is enough for God. And I think about this. They took the stones and they threw the stones and they could hit a hair every time without missing. Now that wasn't some sort of spiritual gift. They didn't just like get the sling out and put a stone in like, wow, did you see that? I just hit that hair. Try it again. That was a fluke, Bobby. No, let's try again. Again. No, that didn't happen like that. There wasn't some spiritual gift of slinging a stone. That they actually had to be determined. See, a lot of us give up the moment things get hard. But, you know, they would have gone. They said, you know, maybe we got to go out. We've got to practice. And I wonder how many times these 700 soldiers went into the field and they took their sling and they took their stone and they practiced. You see, they went back time and time again. They went one day, they went the next day, week after week, and eventually they had a perfect throw. I don't know how many times you're going to have to go out and practice. But God says, God, we got to say to God, God, I need your help. God, I want to be strong in you. My desire, our desire to be used of God, our desire to be victorious and victorious over the devil in a spiritual battle, our desire must be greater than our disaster. Our desire must be greater than our disaster. And the Bible says they had a perfect throw. And so here are 700 soldiers that put fear in 400,000 soldiers. And all of us here today can identify with those 700 soldiers. I'll tell you, whatever's happened in your past, wherever you are at, maybe not even in your past, maybe right now, wherever you are at, it has left you with a choice. Your desire for God needs to be stronger than the disaster and the wounds of the past. You say, you know what? I lost this, but I still got this. I can still be used to God. And when you put all you've got, when you put your life in the hands of God, He can use you as a vessel. Let me tell you, the devil's going to be scared of you. He's gonna run when you get out of bed because you've made up your mind. You know what? I'm not just going to retire from this. I'm not going to make excuses anymore. But God is going to give me strength. I'm going to put my faith in God because I can be strong in the Lord. We can be strong in the Lord. We look at Samson. While everybody mocked the one true God, there was something inside of Samson. He's there. They had plucked his eyes out. This big man, muscles all over him. They burnt his eyes out. They plucked or burnt. Maybe they just put their hot sears in it. He's blind and he's there. And where they used to take the ox used to walk around in circles and this big thing, this big wheel would grind all the wheat. And they took the ox out and they put Samson in there. And he's in there just holding onto the wood, just no good for anything. And he's just blinded, he's disabled, he's handicapped. He's just going around and round in circles. He got no more strength. One day, they took him into that place and he said, God, if you can use me one more time. And he said to that young lad, young lad, take me over to the pillars. And he stood there and everybody's mocking God. And God used him one more time and they had a great victory right there. He said, God, use me. And he put his hands on the pillars and he said, oh God, I may be handicapped. I might have made mistakes. My eyes may be plucked out. Everybody may be laughing and mocking me. But God, I may be handicapped, but I want to be a hero for you. And God gave him the victory. David marches into the battle. You think David, little David against Goliath, do you think he had a handicap? I mean, if we were just looking on the surface of it, who would you back? The giant or the boy? The giant. You see, this young boy, he had a handicap. He was young. And David sees Goliath screaming and yelling and mocking the children of Israel. And they say, okay, David, I've got to give you a helmet. He says, no, I don't need a helmet. I don't need a sword. I may be handicapped. I may look young. I might be small. But hey, I want to be a hero for God. And so he went up and he said, you come to me with sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, David knew where his strength comes from. David knew, just as Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong. Come on, somebody, you're sleeping tonight. Finally, my brethren, be strong. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That's where our strength comes from. Amen. What about Rahab? It wasn't some great person that of defender of the faith that saved the city of Jericho. No, it wasn't some great prince or king. No, it was Rahab the harlot that God used. He said, you know, I may have had a past, may have had a shameful past, but God, if you can use me. What about Saul of Tarsus? Saul of Tarsus abused the people of God. He killed the Christians on the road to Damascus. God smites him. He falls to the ground. God says, get up, Saul. I'm going to do something for you. What does he do? He makes him blind. I'm going to make you handicapped. But when I'm done with you, Saul, you're going to be a hero. You're going to go and preach to the Gentiles, and you're going to bring the way of salvation to the Gentiles. Paul, you got to find out that your strength comes from the Lord. I've come to encourage somebody today. You're fighting that battle over and over again. You're trying to do it in your own strength. Listen, Christianity 101, you can't do anything in your own strength. You're going to fall. You get your strength from God. You can be strong in the Lord. And so we are in a spiritual battle. You can't fight a spiritual battle with fleshly weapons. You got to fight spiritual battles with spiritual armor. We talked about that on Sunday morning. And so we've got to have a baptism of desire that falls on us so that our desire to be used of God is greater than our desire to make excuses, is greater than our disaster of the past. You see, there are not enough spiritual giants. I'm going to say this. There are not enough Bishop Downses. There are not enough great preachers in this world to save this world. There's not enough great people out there to go out and evangelize this world. Some of us, all of us, have got to stand up, stop making excuses and say, God, you know what? All I got to offer may be a humble sling. But God, can you use me? If you can use anything, God, you can use me. There are not enough superstars to win this war. Our strength is in the Lord. We go down to Judges chapter 3. Turn there in your Bible. You're going to need to turn there. Judges chapter 3. Israel, the Israelites are under bondage of King Eglon. Everyone say Eglon. And so they're taken captive of the Moabites. Under King Eglon, the people of Israel were abused. They were mistreated for 18 years. For 18 years, they tried to find the victory. For 18 years, it was one step forward and two steps backward. For 18 years, they tried to find the victory, but they constantly stumbled on defeat. It seemed like an uphill battle. One step forward, two steps back. 18 years, their hopes crushed. 18 years, struggling. How long do we have to go through this abuse and this torture under King Eglon? You know what? When we think of the city that we live in and the city that God has called us to reach, sometimes it feels like we're fighting an uphill battle. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? When you get things in your mail all this gender stuff, it just defies logic. Now we're going to have traffic signs for men and women, which is a cool idea. You know, they got their little lady with the dress and the man with the pants. But I thought, how short-sighted of them. Aren't there like 50 genders now? What are we going to do when, you know, that we're going to have gender fluidity? So who knows? They just open up a can of worms. And so when we look at the task ahead of us, it's just like the Israelites under King Eglon. It just seems like we just can't make any progress. You see, we look at the city of Canberra, we look at the nation God has called us to reach and to preach to. But listen to the answer to their dilemma. 18 years of bondage. Listen to the answer to their dilemma. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, The Lord raised up them a deliverer. The Lord raised up them a deliverer. Now, who was this deliverer? Some giant warrior? Some great person? Some great athlete? Some great politicians? No, God raised up them a deliverer. Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite. What does it say? A man left-handed. A God raised up them a deliverer, a man left-handed. And by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. You see, when God raised up a deliverer, it wasn't some great warrior. It wasn't some great athlete. It wasn't some great politician. God raised up a deliverer, and it was somebody who was left-handed. And we know where left-handed people came from in the Bible. Left-handed people were left-handed because they were handicapped. God raised up somebody who everybody had written off. You see, I'll tell you tonight that God doesn't pick from the front. God picks from the back. God looks to the back of the line. He looks to the fishermen. He looks to the simple people. He looks to those that have faith. He says, because you know what? When people realize their weakness, they'll look to me, and my strength can be made strong in their weakness. And so God raised up a deliverer. And it says in verse 21, it's a bit of a gory picture right here. And he had put forth his left hand, and he took the dagger from his right thigh, and he thrust it into this big guy, Eglon's belly. And the shaft also went in after the blade. He was so fat that he shoved that knife right in, and he lost his hand in there somewhere. He's like, hey, all these fat rolls. My hand's gone. Is that what the Bible says? Yeah. And the shaft went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade so that he couldn't get his hand out of the belly. And then everything started coming out. And then Ehud went to the porch, went forth through the porch and shut the doors of the parlor upon him and locked them. He defeated the king of bondage. And when we think about the city of Canberra, there is a spirit over this city, and it's not the spirit of God. But we can defeat that spirit of bondage in this city if we would rise up. Stop looking to preachers. Stop looking to the big names. Stop looking to TV evangelists. Just say, God, you know what? Maybe all I got to offer is just a sling. I'm handicapped. I don't have much to offer, but God wants to use people like us. People like you and me who have got a past, who have made mistakes, who have got wounds. You see, we can be strong. Everybody say it. In the Lord. You see, we talk about revival, we talk about a breakthrough, we talk about breaking the back of the prince of this city, but I tell you, it will only come when the handicapped, those that have lots of excuses to do nothing, when we all stand up and say, I got a revelation, I can't do this on my own anymore, I got to put my trust in God. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 15, and I'm about to finish. It says, and he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Is that up there? Yep. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You see, you don't fight this battle alone. It's not your battle. God's going to fight for you. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, it says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. I will glory in my infirmities. I will glory in my weaknesses. I will glory in my handicaps. I will glory in my wounds. I will glory in my sickness. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? I come to encourage you tonight. Yeah, we're in a spiritual battle, but we don't have to go into this battle alone. You don't have to go up against this enemy on your own. You've got God on your side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Our strength is not in ourselves. Our strength is not in our knowledge. Our strength isn't in our theological knowledge. Our strength is in the Lord. God is our refuge and our strength. We sang it. A very present help in the time
of trouble. Amen. If God be for us, everyone say, God is for me. God is for me. You see, the cross, as we come to communion right now, the cross is irrefutable proof. The cross is irrefutable proof that God is for us. And so very often we look at the table, and we're going to do it again tonight, and we look at the bread, which speaks of his body, and we look at the grape juice, which speaks of his blood. We say, Jesus, you did that for my salvation. You did that so I could be saved. You did that so my sins could be washed away, so I could stand righteous. You did all of that for me. But I tell you, the cross is much more than that. The cross tells us that Jesus is for us. The cross tells us that he conquered everything there was to conquer. And you know what? We've got the conqueror on our side. That's why the Bible says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so tonight, I want you to remember, yeah, you sit here tonight in righteous before God because of what Jesus did on the cross for you. But you also sit here a conqueror because of what Jesus did on the cross for you. God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen.